Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos, Daf Pei Gimel, and we will begin in Mitzvah Shem, Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, the new perek. As we had learned in the previous perek and earlier in our Masechta on a number of occasions, Nichsim Lug are a type of assets that a wife brings into the marriage, and the halacha is on the Nechsim Melug that the peros of the Nechsim Melug go to the husband. As we also learned in the previous perek, the wife, a Nesua, has no right to sell the Nechsim Melug, Nesua, and under many circumstances, even an Arusa. And furthermore, if the wife is to pass away before the husband, then the husband inherits the Nechsim Melug. Tells us the Mishnah, HaKaisav Lishtai, if one wrote to his wife the following wording, Dinu Dvarim Einli B'Nechasayich, I don't have any claim to your Nechsim Melug. Says the Mishnah, so he has relinquished his rights. But the question is, to what rights has he actually relinquished? Teaches us the Mishnah, when he used this ambiguous statement, we say that what the halacha will be is, Hareza oichel peres b'chayeho, he continues to eat the produce, the profit of the Nechsim Melug. Furthermore, v'meisa yarsha, if she passes away before him, he inherits her. So if so, asked the Mishnah, im kein lama kosla dinu dvarim eli ben chasayich, what has he accomplished with the statement? And as the Tosfos Yontov points out, the same halacha would apply if he didn't use the word dvarim, if he just would have said din einli bin chasayich, what does his statement accomplish? Shemach v'nos nakayim. That although typically if a wife sells the Nechsim Melug, the sale is void, here it will be valid. Kosovlo, but if he wrote her Dinu dvarim einli bin nechasayich uperiseyim, so he used both the words nechasayich and periseyim, then the halacha is hareza oichel peres b'chayeho, he's allowed to hareza ein oichel peres b'chayeho, he's not entitled to the peres v'meisa yarsha, but if she passes away he does yarshin her. And certainly the halacha is that if she sells these nechsim melug, the sale is valid. There's a shaila in the mefarshim, if he just used the words din udvarim einli b'perisehem and omitted the word nuchasayich, what would be halacha? Some of Farshim say that then the din would be that he's only not entitled to eat the peris, but she is not entitled to sell the field. Others, the Pnei Yeshua, seem to learn that once he uses the word perisehem, that includes everything, and she would be allowed to sell these properties, and he's not entitled to the peiros. Rabbi Yehuda, however, disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda, la'olam oichel peiros, the husband may continue eating, even though he doesn't get peiros, once he used the word perisehem, perisehem, which the Gemara will describe on Amud Beis, he may continue eating, unless he writes din advarim enli ben chasayich upeperiseyem upei periseyem at oilam, then he completely relinquishes the rights to any peris. And the Gemara Mitzvah Shem also on Amud Beis will discuss which are the crucial words that make this din happen according to Rabbi Yehuda. Kosvlo, if he wrote din advarim enli ben chasayich upeperiseyem, he added the words b'chayech u'v'meisech, then the halacha is, teaches us the Mishnah, he's no longer entitled to eat peris v'meisa ein yarsha, and if she passes away he doesn't inherit her, and certainly she's allowed to sell these nechsim melug. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, emeisa yirushana, even if he used the words b'chayich or b'meisech, the halacha is if she passes away, he still inherits her. Neshemasa mashakos b'tayro. As Rashi explains, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is of the opinion that the halacha that her husband yarshins a wife is a deraisa, is medaraisa. The Gemara says Masechta Basra Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis L'sheiroi Hakarv Elab Mishpachtoi V'yorish Oysa. And as the Gemara there points out that the words V'yorish Oysa are superfluous, so we learn from those words that a husband has the right midaraisa to inherit his wife, and therefore if he now relinquishes that right, he's making stipulation contrary to what it says in the Torah, and Allah to not bottle, the stipulation is void. And as the Tzoyis explains, and we will learn this sugya more mitzvah in tomorrow's share, this is not an issue that there's a flaw in the Tanai, that there's a flaw in the stipulation. The stipulation may be 100% halachically valid. The issue here is that Tanoim, according to Shimon Gamliel, cannot be made versus what it says in the Torah. As we finish the Mishnah, the Sefer told us Yaakov Yosef, very famous Chassidish Sefer, explains our Mishnah Apidrush, and he explains that our Mishnah should be viewed as a conversation between the guf and the neshama. He compares the relationship between a woman and her husband as the relationship between the neshama and the guf. And the neshama tells the guf, Din udvarim einli b'nechasayich. I'm not serving Hashem b'nechasayich. I'm nas l'kabel pras. I'm on the condition, on the hope to receive reward. Teaches us the Mishnah, if this is the attitude, how someone is over Hashem, how someone serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, teaches us the Mishnah, HaReza Oichel Peres Bechayeha. He will be the person who will be Zoicha Ti Peres Ba'olam Hazeh Va'keren Kayemes Lo'olam Haba. Says the Gemara, Tanya Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya said in explaining our Mishnah, Ha'omer Le'ishtai, it once says to his wife. And as the Mefarshim explain, what Reb Chiya is telling us is that even though our Mishnah used the words HaKoisev Le'ishtai, there really is no difference if it's Koisev or Omer, if he says what this statement, or he writes the statement, the Halach is the same. So HaKoisev Le'ishtai, ask the Gemara, V'chi Chasev Le'ahachi, when the husband made this statement, whether in writing or in speaking, my haver, why is it valid? Vatanya, we learned in a brisa, haim lechaveroi din udvarim ein li el sadazu. If somebody says to his colleague, and the way the Ritva explains it, this brisa, it's referring even to a partner. If somebody says to his partner, din udvarim ein li el sadazu, vein li esikpa, he completely relinquishes Layama Klum. So we see that relinquishing doesn't have validity in Halacha. So why is it valid in our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Amri de Beirabyanai, Bekaisul Avada Arusa. When did he make this make the statement? While she was still in Arusa. And as the Ran explains the Gemara, since they have a relationship, they're ready Arus Varusa, but they're not completely connected yet because they did not come to Nisuan. Therefore, even though this statement, which is inherently weak, relinquishment is weak in Halacha, will be valid here, and he could relinquish, it will be effective. And as the Ran goes on to explain, were he to relinquish his claim prior to the Arison, it would be meaningless. There's no connection between this man and woman. How is he coming to relinquish something that he has no connection to? On the other hand, as the Gemara is teaching us, and we'll say it explicitly in a moment, if he's going to relinquish after Nisuan takes place, then it's not effective. Our Gemara is speaking about, our Mishnah is speaking about a very specific situation, that the relinquishment took place during the status of Erison. And the Rishonim discuss what would be the halacha regarding assets nechsim lug that she receives after they become nasui? The Mishnah Melech brings a tor who says that once he made this relinquishment, it applies not only to the assets that she owned while she was an arusa, but it will even apply to the assets that she will receive after she's in the suah. However, there are other mefarshim that disagree, and they say that the relinquishment cannot be effective for the assets that she receives after the nesuin. On the other hand, the mefarshim discuss if he relinquished his rights to these assets, and then they get married, and now he wants to regret, be chayzer on that relinquishment, certainly he is unable to do so. Because, the Mefarshim explain, she got married to him on the basis, these were the terms of the marriage, that he's relinquishing his rights to her nechsim lug, and therefore he cannot change that stipulation, those terms. However, there is a shaila in the Mefarshim, in a different situation where relinquishment is valid. Can a person relinquish his rights and then afterwards be chayzer regret? It's actually a machlokes of the Marit and the Ktzos. The Marit says that the relinquishment cannot be viewed as actually that he's walking away from it. There's nothing yet to walk away from. He's only relinquishing future rights, and therefore he can regret that relinquishment. The Tzais, however, says that relinquishment is viewed as, in the halacha, as mechila, as a full-fledged mechila, that he can't regret. And I saw that this shaila would be relevant la'alacha l'maisa in the following situation. What would be the halacha if someone was brokering a deal between two individuals, and he's anxious to see the deal come through, and he tells the two individuals, I'm so anxious to see this deal come through, I'm foregoing my brokerage commission. And then the deal continues moving forward, and it looks like the deal will indeed happen. And then he changes his mind, and he says, no, I'm not walking away from my commission. Do we say he already relinquished his rights and he cannot regret or not? And that's actually the machlokes of the Marit and the Ktzos. Rav Kahana, and says the Gemara, this concept that we've just learned really follows what Rav Kahana taught us. Dom Rav Kahana, Nachla Habala Adam Makam Acher, a Yerusha that a person receives through marriage, Adam Masna Lashla Yerushana. A person has the right to weigh his rights to it, unlike his Yerusha that he gets from his parents. And the Rishonim give a number of reasons why there's a difference between the Yerusha one receives from his parent, that he cannot relinquish that right, versus the Yerusha that he receives from his wife. One pshat, which is not the way we learned in our Mishnah, is that Yerusha from a parent is a deraisa, so it's considered like it's the person's already, and as we're learning now, if I own something already, it's too late, I cannot, relinquishment is not adequate, whereas Yerusha from a wife is only drabonon, and it's not considered as if I own it already, and therefore I can do a siluk, a relinquishment. Another pshat is that the Torah regarding Yerusha from a parent uses the word chukas mishpat to teach us that this is a very strong relationship, that one cannot, a strong din, that one cannot relinquish, that those words are not used regarding the Yerusha from a wife. Another pshat is, Yerusha that one receives from his parents, he didn't do anything to acquire that Yerusha. And therefore, it's a very strong ownership. It comes automatically, and therefore he cannot relinquish it. Whereas Yerusha that one receives from a wife, that Yerusha is considered something that he achieved. He had to marry her, and therefore the bond, it's a man-made relationship, so to speak, and therefore that's a relationship that's easier to break, and relinquishment can happen. The Torah tells us about Yaakov Avinu purchasing the Bechayra from Esav. asks the Rivash, how could have that sale been valid? At that time, he didn't yet have the Bechayra. He didn't have anything yet. It's a Davish Labalaylam. So the answer is, which is normally not valid, answers the Tzais. Esav did not sell the Chelek HaBechar to Yaakov with a formal act of acquisition. Rather, what he did was a Silek, a relinquishment. Lomazali Bechayra, the Torah says. He didn't actively sell it. He just walked away from the Bechayra, like the cases of our Gemara. However, as continues the Tzais to explain, we just finished explaining that when it comes to Bechayra, when it comes to Yerusha, Rav Kahana says relinquishment is not effective. So even if we'll say that it was a relinquishment, it wasn't an act of Kenyan, we still have a problem. How was it valid? Yerusha is not subject to relinquishment. Answers the Tzais that the Bechayra is not the same as Yerusha. Yerusha, Rav Kahana just taught us, for the various reasons we quoted the Rishonim, one cannot relinquish. Bechayra is only considered a matana, a gift. As the Pasuk says, Losa Esloi. And since it's only a gift, their relinquishment would be effective prior to his, if Esav did not yet receive it. And the Gemara says, K'derava, and we follow this, we find this concept that someone can walk away from a benefit that he has midrabanan. Damarava, Hama Yefshmit Akanas Chachamim. If somebody says, I'm not anxious, I'm not prepared to accept something that Chazal did for my benefit, Kigoyin Zu, we'll see what Kigoyin Zu means in a moment. Shamala, we accept what he says. Ask him, my Kigoyin Zu, what does he mean with Kigoyin Zu? Kiravhana Amarav. Damarav Huna Marav. Yechayla Isha Shatayim Labala. A woman could tell her husband, Einin Azainis Veini Oysa. We know that halach is, we've discussed many times, a husband is supposed to support his wife, and in return, the wife has to give her husband her wages. A wife could say, since this entire rule was made in my benefit, as Rashi explains, either she would rather keep her wages, or she's not interested in working, and she could say, I'm walking away from this benefit. Similarly, in our Gemara, the halacha is one can walk away, a husband can walk away from the rights in the peiros or different rights that Chazal gave him in the Nechsim Alok. And there's an interesting shaila that the Taz discusses. The Taz discusses a situation where there was someone who got married on a Friday afternoon, and Friday night he did not have yet relations with his kalop, and Shabbos by day, either he or she, the chasson or kala, lost a parent and became aveilim. With there, the halacha is that typically they first celebrate the sheva brachas, and then they sit down shiva. Here, since the chasson is saying he didn't have relations yet, even though Chazal said that he could have the sheva brachas and then the shiva, he would prefer to have the shiva, sit shiva together with the rest of his family, and then only after the shiva celebrate the sheva brachas. And the reason that, and the Taz says, he's allowed to say it, is based on what we're learning in our Gemara. A person could say, Efshi b'takanas Chachamim. Chachamim made a rule on his behalf that he should be able to, Chachamim made a rule on his behalf that he should be able to celebrate the Sheva Brachas before the Shiva, but he could decline that benefit. However, the Drisha, and the Shach agrees with the Taz in the Nekudas HaKesef. However, the Drisha disagrees. And the Drisha says, only when it comes to monetary issues, as the case in our Gemara, does one have the right to say, Efshi b'takonas chachamim, I'm willing to forgo the benefit Chazal gave me. But not in situation where it refers to Issa v'heter, there he has no right to say that. Continues the Gemara. Yihach afil su'unami. So why, if we're learning now that a husband can relinquish his rights in his wife's property, so why does it have to be strictly when she was in Arusa? Even when she's in a sewer, she should be able to do that. Amar Rav Aya, responds Abaya, Nesua Yodoi Ki Yodah. A Nesua, the relationship between a husband and wife when she's a Nesua, is a lot stronger, and therefore he cannot do this relinquishment. Rav Amar, Rav says Yodoi Adifa Mi Yodah. Actually, the hand of the in a Nesuin, the husband has the upper hand. His hand is stronger than her hand. Ask the Gemara, what's the nafkamina if yodai ki yodai, or yodai is greater than yodai? Nafkamina b'shemeres yavim. And as Rashi explains, the nafkamina is as follows. If we, as we learned in the previous perek, a husband dies, leaves over a wife and almana, and we have all these various assets that the almana has or is entitled to, the ksuba, the nechsimalug, and the nechse tzayim barzel. In the Mishnah, the previous parak discussed if this woman, while she was a shemeres yavam, passes away, what is the status of all these various assets? We had a machloikis, beishamai and beishilal. Beishamai said, yachloiku, we divided between her Yarshim and the Yarshim and the Yavam, Yarshim Habal. And Beisila said, Nechasim Becheskosim. That's how Abaya understood that Mishnah. Rava, however, says that if the husband died, that if she died and she had all these assets while she was married to her husband, there is no question, says Rashi, that in those cases, says Rava, everything will go to the husband's Yarshim. Because since Rava says, Yodoi Adifa Miyada, his hand is stronger than her hand, he has the upper hand, so everything he has goes to his Yarshim. When, according to Rava, do we have the machloikis of the previous parak? Says the Gemara, the machlokes of the previous parak is only relevant in the case where she got these assets as a shemeres yavam. That means her husband died, she became a shemeres yavam, and while she's a shemeres yavam, she inherited different types of assets. That's when we have a machloikis between Beisham and Beis Hillel. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. The Pnei Yeshua has a much simpler way of explaining the nafkamina between Abaye and Rava. The question is that we have a woman who's a shemeres yavam, and now can the yavam do a siluk on the assets that she has at that time? Rava says, since Yodai, Adifim Yodai, the husband is stronger than the wife, and the Yavam is taking over the place of the husband, siluk would not be possible between a Yavam and a Shemeres Yavam. Abaya, who says that the relationship between the husband and wife is only Yodai Ki Yodai, so now the relationship goes down a drop, because he's only a Yavam, and therefore, siluk would be possible. Ask the Gemari, Bailu, Konami Yodai Mahu. And there are three explanations in the Rishonim how to understand this Gemara Shaila. Rashi says that the Gemara's question goes back to the Braisa, where somebody says to someone else, a partner says to a different partner, that he is being misalik himself from his ownership, that we learned it's ineffective, but he also did a kinyan. What would be the halacha then? Taisa says that the Gemara Shaila is referring to a Nesua. That the Gemara just taught us that by a Nesua, Siluk is not an option. So the Gemara wants to know now, says Taisus, what will be the halacha if in addition to the Siluk, he also did a Kinyan, will it be effective by a Nesua? And the Rif explains that the Gemara Shaila goes back to the Mishnah. That the first case of our Mishnah taught us that if Siluk is done, it limits, and it only affects that she can now sell the Nechsimalog. So now the Gemara is asking, if in addition to the Siluk, he also did a Kinyan, will the Halacha change? We're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. Amrav Yosef, Medinat Dvarm Konami Yodai. The Siluk is only the kinyan is only connected to the siluk, and since the siluk is ineffective, the kinyan is ineffective. The kinyan is going on the actual property, on the actual nesimalug, and it will be on the actual karka, and it will be effective. Arabaya, Mistabra Milsad Rabbi Yosef, where Rabbi Yosef said that the transaction is still void, even though there was a kinyan made in addition to the siluk, but ayru. And here, we're going to again explain the Malik Rashi. If the original owner protests immediately after the person who receives the property tries to take ownership, that's a proof that all he intended to do here was a siluk, which is ineffective. Aba oimet. But if, as Rashi explains, for a day or two, this person who did the siluk and the kinyan didn't say anything, and then he comes and says something, that's a proof that he meant to do a kinyan, and he can't retract. The Ritva and the Ra'a learn Pshat and the Gemara differently. If it's a property on which there were Eirurim, on which there were people that were challenging the ownership, there we say that the kinyan was not really a kinyan. If on the other hand there was a property on which there were no challengers, there we will explain, ba'oimid, there were no challengers, there we'll say that the kinyan is an effective kinyan, even though there was a siluk also. Amra ba'imer, so says Ameimer, hilchus d'aloch is, megufish o'karak kona miyodai. We assume that the kinyan goes on the karak itself, and it's not just an addition to the siluk. Amra ravash l'ameimer, ba'oir ba'oimid, this that you're saying that the kinyan is effective, did you say it in a situation of oir oimid? So asks a meimel, am I nafkamina? So Rav Ashi answers, look at Rav Yosef, because as we just explained, even Rav Yosef agrees that in a situation of oimid, the kinyan is effective. Amalei l'shmeili, I never heard such a distinction between oir and oimid. Klem l'shmeili, I hold that if a kinyan was done, even if there was also a silik, it's completely effective. So the Mishnah said that if a husband wrote to his wife, didn't varm enli min chasayich, what does it accomplish? It accomplishes imkein lama, that he still gets the payrus. Let's just review the Mishnah. He still gets the payrus. Furthermore, when she dies, he yashins her. So the Mishnah asks, why? What is the point then with the dinat varim? That if she sells these properties, the sale is valid. Ask the Gemara, why are we defining his words this way? V'teimalei become mili salak d'nafshach. Why don't we say that he meant to completely relinquish any rights from this property? Amar Abaya Yad Balashtal Tachtoina. And the way most Mefarshim explain Abaya, it's sort of a concept of a Moitzi Mechaver Olav Araya. As we said at the beginning of our Shir, the husband has very strong rights in his wife's property. Here, where there was obviously some sort of a relinquishment, we define it in the most minimal way, and we'll see why her right to selling is considered the most minimal way. Similar to Amoitz Mechaver Olav Araya. However, Rabbi Chanan and the Chazon Ish have a very different approach to this Gemara. Their approach to this Gemara is why don't we just ask the man what he meant? The husband made the statement, Dinah Dvarim Einli B'Nechasayich, and why don't we just ask him what he meant? And they say that, actually, that is the din. If we ask the husband, and he tells us what he meant, that's what we would follow. Our Gemara is in a situation where the husband is no longer here, or the husband is not able to explain himself. That's when our Mishnah, our Gemara says, since Yad Baal Shtal Tachtoino, he has the upper hand, and we say that it only meant from her ability to sell the property, the only thing that he relinquished the right. Eimah Meperi. So ask the Gemara, perhaps we should say what he relinquished the rights from was that he won't get the produce. And as the Mefarshim explained the Gemara's question, if we were to think about it, the weakest right that he has is payrus. If she sells the property, he will never have it again. If he loses the payrus, that's not something permanent. So why are we saying that he relinquished the right to, that gave her the right to sell? Wouldn't it make more sense that he relinquished his rights to payrus? Amar Abaye b'tzinat ha-mikra. A small cucumber is better than a large cucumber. Peiris is something that he gets right now. The sale, it's not something that he's thinking about. She's not selling. As we soon see in the Gemara, women don't typically sell the Nechsim Malug, and therefore he's more concerned about the Peiris, which is a benefit he could realize right now. And it's actually interesting, if we look at the Paiskim, they take this concept of Betzina Tam Mikra. Dretvaz uses this for a very famous tshuva of Dretvaz, where there was a person who was unfortunately in prison, and he was able to receive a furlough for one day. And the question that was asked was, should he wait to use that furlough on Yom Kippur, on a Yontif, where he could go to shul and be mekayim all the mitzvahs, or should he take it for the first opportunity? Says Ritvaz, as our Gemara says, but Sinatam Mikra, what's sure is sure. Right now you have a benefit. Right now you have a furlough. Take advantage of it. But it's interesting to note, and it's an interesting to note because this is the way we look at halacha. Even though we have this concept of Sinatam Mikra, which is an important concept in halacha, not in all situations is it to be applied. I saw the following shaila that was asked to the Ritvaz. Ritvaz was asked, Shaila, that there was a community that had no day school. It's also interesting in terms of history. There was no day school in this community, and the children of the community went to public school or other such types of institutions and got no Jewish education. And because they received no Jewish education, obviously the rate of people falling away from Derech of Avodas Hashem, Shmiras Torah Mitzvahs, was very high. So the people of the community decided that they need to establish a school, a cheder, for the children to attend, to strengthen and hopefully keep them with the Yiddishkeit. However, in this community typically, regularly, contributed significant sum to the Tzedakah Ramei Balanes, to Aniya Eretz Yisrael. And the Gaboyim of that stalker came with a claim saying that if you're going to now open this new institution, this day school, that will be a drain from our income. And we have a chazaka, we have first rights on this tzedakah money, and you have no right to deprive us of these funds. And the question was asked to Ritvaz, what does he paskin? So Ritvaz says, sometimes you have to look into the future. You don't look at right now. And he says to the Gabom de Ramei Balanes, your claim is that if this yeshiva will open, it will be a drain from your income. And what will be, says the Ritvaz, if the yeshiva doesn't open, and the community falls apart, and the people from this community begin to assimilate, and have no more relationship to Klal Yisrael, then they certainly won't give tzedakah to Ramei Balanes. So many years from now, you won't have anything. And therefore, certainly, said Ritvaz, the yeshiva should be opened, even if it was at the expense of income to the stock of Ramei Balanes. Ask the Gemara Emi Mirusha. So again, we're saying that the husband relinquished something. Why don't we say that he relinquished the right to Yash and his wife? Amar Abayi, Misa Shchicha, Mechira Lo Shchicha. And the way Tosfos explains, it was quite frequent that a wife died before a husband, because in those days women died very often in childbirth. But that a woman should sell her nechsim malug, which is assets that she received from her parents' home, which, as we learned in the previous parak, she takes pride in, was very infrequent. Therefore, v'chimasalik in the shnafshe, if we're going to say that somebody relinquished something, it's more likely to say mimilz the loy shchichi, for something which is not likely to happen, that the wife will sell the nechsim malug, mimilz the shchicha, for something which is more likely to happen, her predeceasing him, loy misalik in the shnafshe. Rav Ashi has a different way of explaining why the Mishnah paskened the way it did, because Rav Ashi explains the wording. He interprets that the words that he used, what he meant to say was, I'm renouncing, I'm relinquishing rights in the property of a non in the Paris. While you're alive, and there's a machlokes in the Mefarshim how to understand what Rav Ashi is saying. Some Mefarshim suggest that Rav Ashi is not really arguing with Abaya. He's just actually expanding what Abaya says. Abaya says that we assume that this is what he meant. Comes along Rav Ashi to say that actually the wording that he uses points in that direction also. Other say that Rav Ashi argues with Abaya. Because the basis of Abaya's understanding was, they explain, that the woman's position is the weaker position. And they say Rav Ashi disagrees. Why would we say that the woman's position is the weaker position? The woman is the one who really owns the Nechsim Malug. And therefore, actually, she's the one that should have the stronger position. So if she has a stronger position, so maybe when he used, maybe we should interpret the husband's words to that he's renouncing all of his rights in the Nechsim Malug. Comes along Rav Ashi to tell us that no, that's the way to interpret and understand the words that he used in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehudaim loyal mo'oichel peri peris. The husband continues to eat peri peris. If he only said din dvarim ainli b'nechasaych of periseim, he's entitled to peri peris. Tana Bonin explains the brisa. Eilam peris ve'elam peri peris. What a peris? What a peri peris? Says the brisa. Chnisu loy karko. If she brought in property to the marriage, vassa peris, and that property produces crops, harehein peros, macha peros, v'lokachman karka, when those peros are sold and new land is bought, and that new land asa peros, that is considered harehein periperos. So Rabbi Yehuda said that it's not considered a full-fledged renunciation unless he said the periperos same at oilam. Ibailahu. So now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yehuda, periperos dafka, what are the crucial words? Is the crucial words peri peris, oidoma ad oilam davka, or is the crucial words ad oilam? Oidoma tavayu davka, does he have to use both the words peri peris and ad oilam? That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos takes a different approach. Tosfos says Rabbi Yehuda certainly will agree that if the words ad oilam were used, that's effective. The Gemara's question is, where does peri peris stand? Again, we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. Imtem Tzolayim Periperis Dafka, ask the Gemara, if we're saying that the crucial statement according to Yehuda is Periperis, so why did he have to use the words Ad Oilam? Answers the Gemara, Hokamashmalon, Kim the Kosla Periperis, what the Mishnah is teaching us is that as soon as the husband used the words Periperis, it's command the Kosla Ad Oilam Dami, it's as if he said, I meant this should be forever. But he doesn't have to use the words Ad Oilam. On the other hand, Imtim Tzoloima Ad Oilam Dafka, that the words Ad Oilam are the crucial words. So then Periperis Lamali, why does he have to use the word Periperis? Kamashmalon, says the Gemara, the Mishnah is teaching us, that Afagav the Kosla Periperis, even were the husband to use the words Periperis, only Ikosla Ad Oilam in, only if he used the words Ad Oilam does it mean a permanent renunciation, Eloi Loi, without the words Ad Oilam, even though he used the words Periperis, it would not be effective. Vimtim Tzolayim Tavayu Dafka, and if we're going to explain what Rabbi Yehuda meant to say, is that he has to use both the words Periperis and the words Ad Oilam, so the question is, Tata Lamali, why does he have to use both statements? Answer the Gemara Tzayricham. The Kosla Periperis, if he only would have said Periperis, for like Kosla Ad Oilam and didn't use the words Ad Oilam, have a mina Periperis with the Loyachal. Periperis he won't eat. I will pay with the Periperis, but the third generation Paris, Ochel. Lachi Itzrich, that's why he has to use the words at Oilam, which means at, for infinity, forever. The Kosov Lad Oilam, like Kosov Lad Paris, if on the other hand he only used the words at Oilam, and didn't use the words Paris, have mean al Oilam at Paris Kai. The word La Oilam is to be connected to the Paris. And as Rashi says, what it means to say is that only What he means to say is that the husband will not consume the peris itself, not this year, nor in any future years to infinity. But we won't say that it goes on to the peris or the peris. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, because Tosfos says, what should be the difference this year or next year? And therefore Tosfos says that I would say it only is referring to the peris, and that the husband is relinquishing his right to the peiros both while the wife is alive and also after she passes away. But I won't take it to say that he's speaking at all about the periperis. Lachi Itzruch, that's why he had to also speak out periperis, and that's why this side of the Shiloh holds, you have to use both the words periperis and ad oilam. Ibai lohu. Now the Gemara asks another question. Kosla dinu dvarim enli b'nechasayich or b'periperis. If he used the words dinu dvarim enli b'nechasayich and b'periperis, but he did not speak about the Paris. And as the Rishonim explained, this question is not only a question of Yehuda, it's also a question on the Tanakama. What will be the halacha? Mao Shiyachal Paris. Will he be allowed to eat the Paris? Do we say Mepeir Paris Solaknafshi? He only relinquished the rights in the Peir Paris. However, Mepeir Lay Solaknafshi, he didn't speak about the Paris. Idilma, Mikomi Li Solaknafshi. He said Peir Paris, and that includes everything. And as the Rishonim explained, because you can't have if you don't have the Paris, you don't have the periperis. So since the periperis could only come into being if the husband left over some Paris, or do we say that if he's keeping the Paris, there'll never be any periperis? Says the Gemara, Pshita the Makal Mila Salak Nafshi. It must be that he meant the Paris also. The Amr Mepeir Paris Salak Nafshi. He only meant the Peir Paris. But Peir Loi Salak Nafshi, he didn't mean the Paris. Kim the Chlinel of Paris. So if he's going to eat the Paris, Peir Paris Mehecha, where will there be Paris from? So must be that he also meant the Paris. Ask the Gemara, Lutameich, Hadat, now we learn to the Mishnah of Yehuda, Oim Eloilim Eichel Peir Paris. Yehuda said that if the husband only said Paris, so from the Paris he relinquishes his rights, but not from the Peri Paris. But the question is, Kivin the Chaltin ol Peri, if he's still eating the Peri Paris Mehecha, where will there ever be Paris? If the wife is getting all of the Paris, Ella, how would we explain Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah that the husband relinquished his rights in the Paris? And if the wife consumed all the Paris, indeed there would be no Peri Paris. The case of our Mishnah is that the wife Shaira left over, didn't eat all the Paris, and that's how Paris were able to come into being. And that's where Rabbi Yehuda says that since the husband didn't use the words Paris, he didn't relinquish his rights from them. Hachanami will say the same here b'Shaira. The case where the case that we're discussing is where the husband left over some of the Paris, and they became Paris, and those periperis, he indeed renounced his rights from, because he used the words periperis, but that doesn't affect the peris that those he ate, and those that he left over produced the periperis.